I will call to order the regular meeting of the APFT LSB here on November 20th, 2024. It is 7:05 by my watch, and our esteemed secretary is searching frantically for the membership roll so that he may call it.
If you want me to call it, I can do it.
That would probably be good.
Okay, then.
And I'll take notes.
Okay.
Whoever is sharing, stop it for just now. Oh, I see. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Today is the 20th, right?
Yes.
All right. Teresa Allen is present. David Britton? Not hearing David Britton. Lillian Kerr? Not hearing Lillian. Adriana Casanay?
Present.
Thank you very much. Joseph Davis? Not hearing Joseph Davis. Lyndon Foley?
Wait.
Here.
Thank you. Rajat Chopra?
Here.
Thank you very much. Henry Faust? Not hearing Henry Faust. Robert Gartner? Not hearing Robert Gartner. Rob Lee?
Present.
Thank you. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Thank you, Mike. Cheryl Lynn?
She has asked for an excused absence.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll deal with excused absences on the back end.
All right. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Thank you very much. Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am.
Thank you very much. Tori Mercer?
Tori Mercer?
Not hearing Tori Mercer. Stuart Nance?
I'm here.
Thank you, Stuart. Rick Norris?
Norris.
Rick Norris? Not hearing Rick Norris. Frank Pratka?
Here.
Thank you very much. Jane Scheidler?
Here.
Thank you very much. Debbie Smith?
Here.
Thank you very much. Anita Long? Not hearing Anita. Glenn Etienne?
Here.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone who's here whose name I did not call?
I don't think you called Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Susan Young. Yeah, you're right at the bottom there.
And Egberto Willis.
And Egberto Willis?
I saw an email from Lilia Gere asking for an excuse absence.
Okay, so Egberto's not here, and Lillian is asking for excuse absence.
There was a note from David Britton as well.
Okay, excuse absence for David Britton.
So there are three requests for excused absences. Are there any more requests for excused absences? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair, would you remind us?
Excuse me, Adriana, please. What, Susan?
Would you remind us the three names?
David Britton, Cheryl Lynn, and
Lillian.
Lillian Kerr.
So,
and the people,
excuse me. So is there any objection to those excused absences?
Yes.
Marianne, do you object?
Well, first of all, I didn't see an excused absence from one of those individuals, but regardless, I think everybody should just be excused.
Well, okay.
Everybody.
So there's no, so then there is no objection. Is that right? Going once, going twice. Okay.
No, I'm just saying everybody, not just three.
No, you got to ask.
Yes, you got to ask.
Okay. That's the rule as I understand it. So, moving on, let me call the agenda and we'll see if we have a motion for its approval. Call to order at 7 p.m. We actually did start at 7:05. We've called the roll. I'm reading the agenda and asking for its approval. Announcements by the chair, which will be brief. We have minutes for September 11 and October 9 meeting. We have staff recognition and the interim general manager's report. We've allotted 15 minutes for that, 10 minutes for the minutes approval, five minutes for these other items. In the event that that takes us all the way to 8 o'clock, we'd have a hard stop at 8 o'clock for public comment. Assuming we go to 8 o'clock and then to 8:30, then we have the, and I have a question about this, guys. Let me ask Susan. The agenda has PNB representatives report after the public comment. But then if we go down to the KPFT LSB committee reports, there's a note that says MSRC report on IGM evaluation and executive session following the LSB public session. So what do you want to do? You want to go directly? Because I don't care.
But I think I think what the public session means is what's open session as opposed to public comment.
Okay. Then.
So we just, yeah.
Then never mind my confusion. It's a natural state. So PNB representatives report, we've allotted 15 minutes. The KPFT LSB committee reports, 5 minutes each. Although I expect that the, executive session for the MSRC report will be longer. Then we will come back to our regular meeting. If there's any unfinished business or new business, we will confirm the next LSB meeting date, at which we will seat the newly elected delegates, and then we will adjourn. Again, this got real confusing. This said, the agenda says adjourn public session to executive session, which just repeats essentially what I already read for the committee report. Do we intend
Mr.
to do
Chair?
It again? Yes.
Mr. Chair, can I just make a clarification?
Please.
The committee report D will just be, I'll give a little explanation about the GM review process, but the actual evaluation will occur in executive session at the end of the meeting. We okay. finish all of the open session stuff, then we adjourn to executive session. And that, we go and that, to a different email.
And that does make more sense. It's more streamlined. It's much easier. Forgive my confusion. It doesn't track real well. So is there any objection to the agenda as I've read it and as it has been clarified?
No.
Going once, going twice, hearing no objection. The agenda is approved. The chair, I have no announcements. Okay. I have no announcements. And so, does the secretary wish to move the minutes for September 11th and October 9th meetings?
Motion to approve the minutes for the two aforementioned meetings.
Second.
Is there any objection? Going once?
No.
Going twice? There being no objection, the minutes for the September 11th and October 9th, 2024 meetings are approved. We've allotted 5 minutes for... Yes.
Thank you. I want to notice that Robert Garner, and I think that I saw Corey Mercer are here.
I think you're right. I see him as well. And if he will speak up, then we can count him as present. Robert,
hello.
You're muted.
Let's see.
Robert, you're muted.
Yeah, well, she mentioned two names, okay. Actually.
And so...
This is Robert Gardner.
Okay, Robert, I think the secretary will mark you down as present.
Present. Got him.
Tori here.
And Tori Mercer is here. Good to see you.
Present. Got him. Okay.
Thank you. So, with that, we've allotted 5 minutes for staff recognition. Do any members of the LSB wish to single out any individual members, any individual staff members for recognition?
Well, I guess I
Jane. Alan for the stack.
Okay, Jane had her hand up first, and then we'll go to Jane and Teresa. Teresa. Where'd she go?
Jane, unmute.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize I was first. I just want to say a kind word about Howard Reynolds. I had to call the station.
Can't hear you. No, I just didn't want to fucking join before we, you know.
I'm sorry, what?
No, go ahead. I've muted
Somebody needs to be muted.
I muted them. Go ahead, Jane.
Oh, okay. And I had to call the station up. Kind of tangential rabbit hole question, and took my call, answered my question with grace and courtesy, and made me feel very strongly that I wasn't interfering with his time anyway. And it was just a truly pleasant experience. So, Howard.
Hey, Howard. Teresa?
I wanted to thank the team of people who helped with the fajita party buffet at Cadillac Bar. It was a lot of fun. Ricky Esquerdo was there. I don't know if it was him who secured the musicians, but I thought the musicians were great, and the food was great, and the company sure was wonderful. And it was nice to see Marlo Blue and Robin there working the front table. And Sandy was there. It was just great, great event. And I also wanted to thank, Giving Tuesday happens December 3rd, which is the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Teresa, and I say this with all due respect, but this is for staff recognition?
Just staff.
Staff recognition, yes.
You don't consider volunteer staff?
No, they're not staff. You can talk about that in development or something, but no, this is for
staff.
Okay,
that's fine. Fine.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to, once again, Sandy, Howard, Marlo, the team, all of the programmers are doing an amazing job delivering, once again, our fund drives, which keep the doors open. I think that the Fajita event was a great way to combine listeners. I know we saw some people who've been on the board, some people who were new on the board, some people who were coming onto the board. Great to see programmers there. I always love Robin and Marlo. They're absolutely great. The musicians were great. So I think that those ways that we can build community where people can get to know each other, we're on the air, and who are in other support capacities. I think that's great. So thank you, everybody who made that happen.
Thank you. Tori?
I'd like to thank the all-day music crew, Freddie Stein and Rick, for fulfilling.
Ew, I'm being safe on the air right now.
Oh, are you there? Okay.
For doing.
I'm talking about you.
For doing like, the Close your
ears. Well, I thank you. But for fulfilling a very specific part of the Pacifica mission, which is to bring on amateur musicians. And so they had on some guitars for vets, and it's sort of a therapeutic group. They bring, you know, local amateur singer-songwriters together that, foster or coach vets that have gone through trauma and stuff. And so that's another thing. It's, you know, music is therapy. And I've always used KPFT as music, as therapy. And so, hats off to the all day music crew.
Thank you, Tori. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And, I see that Rick Norris is now on the call. Rick, you want to speak up? Do we know?
Hey, just in time to get accolades from Tori, you know, I appreciate that.
Okay. All right.
And so
I did not recognize you because you've got somebody Theron's phone. So thanks. All right. We've got, this is going to work out pretty good. It is 7:20 and we've got till 8. So, we've allotted 15 minutes for the, interim general manager's report. I think we can, give, where'd he go?
Right here.
I think we can give Sandy a listen. Sandy?
Yeah. Thank you, Mac. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Great. Hey, first to all those that are stepping down off the board this, after this meeting, thank you for your service on the board. It's not always easy and it's not always kind, but you stuck it out. So thank you. And to those that are continuing on or stepping up, thank you for your continuing service or thank you for getting elected. You have to redefine yourself as a winner somewhere around February or March. You'll understand what I mean about then. Our fund drive that we just completed, our October fund drive at $150,000 goal, we exceeded that goal and took in $154,020. For those of you into percentage, that's 102% of goal. As such, we're in the process of making and going over to for photos and letters and that kind of thing, donations to both the Women's Home and the Star of Hope Mission. I know Robin is processing some of those needed donations, needed items that they've requested. So because we funded and because we're going to be good till February, we're continuing to give back to the community as we've had through blood drives and food drives, et cetera. Thanks to our anonymous donor who again matched sustaining pledges. This is a big, big motivator for people putting $5 a month down, $10 a month down, the small donations that ultimately turn into larger donations for many people. So thanks to that person. I'm going to leave her that name anonymous. Also, thanks to Elise Bench, Marlo, Robin, and all the others that helped to pitch. This is essential. Fund drives are successful minute by minute, show by show, and the right pitch partner, oversight, and making sure the train stays on track, make sure that we get to that goal. So thanks to all those folks too. The Fajita event on November 13th, which Rick Escardo hosted. Thanks, Rick, for hosting. And thanks to Robin, Elise, and Marlo. Myself, Robin, who all had a hand in arranging that. The music, by the way, was Irie Fresco. That was a band that had played on my show. And I thought this would be perfect. And I think for those of you that were there, the music definitely fit the room that night. It made the mood quite festive. On Saturday, November 9th, we did a 4-hour live broadcast from a place called East River 9, which is a beautiful location, really hidden from view off of Waco, the Waco Street exit on I-10. They did a blues festival out there, the Houston Blues Festival, and Stuart Nance and Howard and Tom Richards were at the core of all of this. I think Stuart's on the call tonight. Thank you for that, Stuart. That was quite the event. Now, the rain came in about 10, but up until that point, there were, at least a couple hundred people standing around, and a few of them knew KPFT, and some didn't. And so, again, in terms of an outreach event and embedding ourselves in the community during a live broadcast, this was a tremendous success. We were also live from the Texas Radio Museum, Hall of Fame, Texas Radio Hall of Fame Museum in Kilgore, Texas. That was on September 26th during the drive, that would have been October 26th, during the drive. And again, I want to thank Stuart and Ronnie and Tom for getting that one together. Also, thanks to those that marched in the Veterans Day Parade. I know, Teresa, you kind of organize that group, so thanks for doing that. Thanks to Arlo and Bill Crozier and all the other volunteers that continued in the month of October to help maintain the building and other items that need to get done around KPFT. It's not all Howard, myself, Robin, and Marlo, not by a long stretch. There are a lot of programming changes that were made. They're detailed in my report. Marlo is continuing to dog two schedules, HD1 and HD2, and Howard HD3. That's a big task. You would think that it just sits there day after day, but you would be surprised at the surprises each and every day. Membership that I got from Robin is 2,682 households, and our QM dropped back to 63.6. Also, market share dropped back to 0.4. This is the effect of Fund Drive and also internet problems again. AT&T replaced the modem in our building, and it seems to have cleaned up some of those problems. We also suffered through the loss of a wireless modem at our transmitter and struggled like crazy to get replacements. That's a long story, longer than the time that we have allotted for my report. So again, on-air Fund Drive, good. Our available cash when I got the ping from Markeisha on Monday was $235,318.16. There is restricted monies in here, grant monies that are included in that total. And also we've got our taxes, real estate taxes, and some other bills that come periodically, and the period is around January 1st. Hey, just like at home, right? So we're going to be looking at about a $25,000 outlay, for sure, over and above our normal monthly cycle, such as tower rentals. Credit card balance is still zero. It's paid off every month. I really suggest that folks that want to help out, help to raise money, we start calling lapsed donors, and we do so on a very regular basis. So that's what I got. Take any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions for the IGM regarding his report? Debbie, you got your hand up?
Yeah, are we on full power yet, Sandy? Because when I'm, you know, up here in Willis, it's still really scratchy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, we are in full power. And down here in League City, I've got, again, it was about this time of year, interestingly, last year, that the same anomalies were occurring. So when I asked Mo about this, he always turns to me and he says, atmospheric conditions. So that's the best answer I got. There's nothing wrong with the transmitter.
Yeah, because I'd called one time and Howard said we weren't on full power was the reason. And it's still, you
right.
know,
no, the no, they were doing some. They were doing tower work is what you're referring to.
I just wondered if we were at full power. So it's nature that's making it not come in. Okay.
Sure.
Adriana, you have your hand up.
Yes. Sandy. Hi. I have a question. You mentioned household. Can you tell me how many members do we have? Because it's what count when we do elections or things like that. Members is what, do you have that number or?
Okay, so the reporting is coming through Allegiance, and Allegiance does not break this down by people in one address, at least not easily enough. This is the data I get back from Robin. So unfortunately, Adrian, I don't have that number. We suspect that it's probably somewhere around 3,500, but we don't know. That's just a guess. Okay. Yes.
My question is, we need to have that list when we go to elections. We need exactly the number of members. Doesn't count household.
Okay. Well, I mean, that might be another way of reporting it. I mean, Robin's drawing this from Allegiance, not from that list. Okay. So maybe
I will ask her. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good point.
Robert, you have your hand up?
Yeah. It's in my memory, several years ago, it seemed like there was an effort to have tax-exempt status on the property on Lovett. And so my memory is a little cloudy on that. I don't know how that got resolved, but my impression is that it was resolved in favor of KPFT, that we had some form of tax-exempt status. Is that true, and how does that figure into what you were saying about taxes in January 2025?
That's a good question. We are indeed liable for over $18,000 worth of real estate taxes on Caroline. And there was a point in time at Lovett, I'm guessing 2005 or 6, maybe 7, where the Texas legislature passed a resolution giving broadcast entities such as ourselves, 501c3 educational broadcast entities, tax exemption if. Now we have to go down the list. And one of the things on the list is we've received funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which we have not. And I will go further with this and just say that this is granted for a 7-year or 5-year period. I have to go back and read the fine print. And then you have to renew. We never renewed, but we continued to be tax exempt. So, no, we haven't. I've spoken to a couple of tax lawyers on this, and they've come up both independently with the same conclusion. We have to go back through the Texas state legislature. To that end, I've contacted Yolanda Jones's office on 3 occasions, and all 3 times they said they'll get back to me, and I haven't heard from them yet. So that's where it stands. If anybody has any buddies in the Texas state legislature, please bring them forward.
Okay. Thanks. Jane?
I have a comment that in response to Adrian's question that might help, and that is that the formula that used by government is 3.3 people per household. And that's based on statistical data that we used to use when calculating water connections. So you had a water meter and you could average 3.33 people using water from 1 meter. So that's the correlation households and humans.
No, I know that. Thank you, Jane. I know.
Okay. Susan, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to add in quickly that we got that tax exemption. I think when Mike Martin, who had been a former legislator, was our board chair, and Garnet Coleman was the legislator who carried it, and we had a Democratic majority. It is highly unlikely that we are going to succeed in the legislature again. And also, not only will it be difficult for us to get Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding again, because we would have to restate all kinds of records going back to 2016. We don't have enough listenership. But also, obviously, CPB will be under attack by the Trump administration. So I think our ability to meet those criteria is not likely.
To praise Bob Weir, or quote Bob Weir, we are it. We are on our own. So, yeah, we got to keep raising the money and making sure that we don't run into any tax problems with the city. Because as Susan said, it's possibly a hostile environment.
Yeah. It's a hostile world, guys.
It's a hostile world.
Are there any other questions to the general manager regarding his report? Hearing none, I propose that we move on to the PNB rep report. We've allotted 15 minutes for that. We should be easily able to get that done before the public comment. How's that? What say you, Susan Young?
Ready to rock and roll. So cool. if that's helpful.
Rock and roll is always helpful.
So let me say that I did send out probably, I think, maybe round about last Friday, or so. I sent out the executive director's most recent report. She provides a report at the Pacifica National Board meetings. They are very thorough. They have all these attachments. I also crafted a report which said how frequently the PNB had met, what the report outs were from executive session, and what any, and a summary of actions taken. I sent that out before. I will send it out again. Let me just say that this is, you know, we're coming down the home stretch for this term. Probably the biggest thing that happened was that, the KPFK property was sold. This was something that was initiated in 2022 because we had such severe financial problems that the way to be able to deal with them was to sell the property. It took 2 years to get this done. Was immensely difficult. The majority, largest part of the funds were used to retire debt. We had two big chunks of debt. One of them is a loan from FJC, and that was reduced slightly but stays outstanding. The other was an EIDL loan from the Small Business Administration. That one got retired completely. We were able to pay for our election to happen in 2024, the election that some people who are on this call just got elected through. We are going to be able to pay for the audit. We're able to bring ourselves up current with things like the allegiance payment, which means that we're going to be able to use that system more fully. And also there will be the ability to do some staffing up at KPFK. KPFK, like KPFT, has had a volunteer IGM for more than 2 years. At this time, by the way, there are 5 interim general managers. And so one of the things that's going to be looked at in the new year will be how searches for general managers are conducted. So we're looking, the personnel committee, National Personnel Committee, which Teresa chairs, will be looking at what are the procedures that make sense for conducting that. There's been disagreement about who drafts the job descriptions, where do the postings go, all sorts of things like that. So we're coming up with standard procedures. Because it'll apply to all 5 stations basically at once. Budgets. We have all the station budgets will be available for adoption by tomorrow, the 2025s, a national office after that. And so we're making a lot of progress in many realms at once. And frankly, I think the executive director is really to be thanked for working some very, very difficult issues on a complete shoestring. The staff is basically Stephanie and the business manager, Markeisha, 3 people who are in engineering, and that's it. And they are also now also handling the archives. So the archives function got folded in. They're doing all of the organizing of archive materials in storage. They're doing the moving from one place to another. We're getting all of the materials from the archive digitized by the Library of Congress. They're paying for it. So there have been amazing things accomplished this year, but it has also been painful.
Okay, before we move on to Teresa, are there any questions? I know, Adriana, you've got your hand up.
Yes, sir. Susan, I saw in the reports before that we have, is any way that we can get the report in the payment of all the stations about Central Service and the archives? We used to have that, how much every station is paying and who's paying and who's not. Do we have that available?
We are about to. So that
okay,
is,
thank you.
Yeah, the National Finance Committee, that'll be something it addresses in one of the next 2 meetings.
Thank you. And I was thinking about the audits too. You already are starting contacting the audits. The auditor,
yes,
right.
In fact, the auditor who did the audit in 2022 and in 2023, we selected the same auditor. I chaired the committee at that time. but we didn't have the money, so it was not initiated. They are the auditor, Rogers and Company, I think it is. We have the board is authorized entering the engagement letter. They will start, and they're going to do two audits. They're going to do 2023 and 2024. Or 2022 and 2023 in the same year. They previously charged, I think it was $75,000 a year. This time they're charging us $105,000, and that's for 2 years, which is an amazingly good deal. I'm working with the auditor who worked before. They're already up to speed, and we've looked at best practices, and there's no problem with continuing to work with them for this year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Teresa?
Okay. Personnel will finalize the evaluation of the executive director and present it to the Pacifica National Board on December 5th. And governance had two motions. One was involving decorum. And it will go to the National Board. The other one involved non-LSB members serving on three committees, finance, MSRC, our personnel, and governance committees locally, stating that we only wanted people to vote on those committees if they were members of the LSBs. And that's going to the Pacifica National Board this Thursday, tomorrow. That's all for me now.
Okay. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we still have about 20 minutes almost till public comment, our hard stop at 8 o'clock. So I suggest that we move to KPFT LSB committee reports. Teresa, I know you...
I've been busy, so I wanted you to know that I want to thank... Debbie Smith for contributing decorations, Matt Maloto, Rick Norris, and the fine face painting team and karaoke team that Robin lined up for the karaoke event, which was on Friday, October 25th at Discovery Green. I want to thank Kurt Gerdron and Egberto Willis, Captain Tom Harper, and Tashara Harper for their participation in the Veterans Day event on Monday, November the 11th. And we have other events coming up. If there's anyone on this board who wants to participate in the MLK parade in January, please contact me. If there's anyone who would like to be the point person for that event, please see me. And it's not too early to actually be looking for people that might want to participate in St. Patrick's Day Parade and our car parade.
It's never too early for the St. Pat's Parade.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Debbie? You're muted.
Do you have a date for the MLK thing, Susan? Teresa?
And Teresa, you're muted.
I'll have to look in the minutes.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty close to around. It's going to be pretty close to around MLK Day, I do believe.
That's just it looks like we'll also be planning a town hall at United Way sometime in February.
Okay. Finance committee.
Yes, thank you, Mac. We at the National Finance Committee have received the third quarter financials, consolidated financials, and we're going to review those next week. And after that is reviewed, then we'll be able to release that to the LSB. And so it is a little late, but things look fairly good on the finance front. And so y'all will all be able to see that hopefully next week. That's it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Governance. Do we have a governance report? I don't see. I guess we do not.
No, we haven't met.
Yeah, so that'll do it. So the MSRC, Susan, do you want to give us a little sneak peek?
Sure. What I'll do, I decided that since we've got good time right now, that I'll break kind of this evaluation process into two pieces. One part in the report on the Management Selection Review Committee will be what this evaluation process is. And then when we get into the details about the evaluation of the specifics of the evaluation of our interim general manager, we'll go into executive session for that. Let me just ask, is Marianne wanting to add something right now of me, of you? Marianne?
No, Susan, no, I don't want to interrupt you. I have something on the governance committee here. We could come back to that later or whatever.
We'll come back. No. We'll come back.
Okay, great. You got it. So let me just read quickly the management selection and the bylaws require the local station boards to annually evaluate their general managers. This has been done sometimes, not always, and it's done in different ways at different stations. We have had discussions at the national level about what these evaluations should entail. Ours have entailed two things. One is a list of metrics that Sandy was asked to fill out, and I can report back about those. And the other is a survey instrument that is sent to the local station board members who reply to those. The process for KPFT is conducted by the Management Selection and Review Committee. And the Management Selection Review Committee meets in evaluating the surveys. We meet in executive session, and only those who have signed non-disclosure agreements are able to participate in those conversations. We will make the presentation of our findings in executive session this evening. We'll ask the local station board to approve our forwarding our report to the executive director. The recipient of this information is the executive director. The general manager reports to the executive director, so this provides information for his evaluation subject to her reviews. We will also provide to the executive director all of the actual surveys that were filled out. So she'll have full access to comments that were made. And I think that's what I have to say. At our last meeting, we did meet with Sandy. This was, we're kind of inventing this process, and Sandy was gracious to spend time with us and discuss his kind of view of the metrics that we asked him to address, and he has given us a written report about that. Membership, listenership, market share, timeliness of budgets and financial reports, maintaining a financial position that is at least revenue neutral, payment of central services, frequency of grid evaluation and criteria, frequency of staff trainings, community events and activities, web traffic and social media presence, development strategies implemented, collaborations, volunteer opportunities, and management. And we hope to use this set of metrics more broadly across the system so that we're looking at the performance of general managers with some consistency.
Okay. Does anyone have, shall we say, general questions, understanding that we will actually be presented the report itself a little bit later, but we've got a few minutes. Does anyone have any general questions to Susan about the about the report, about the process, about any of it. Come on, guys, we got to fill up 10 minutes before public comment.
we can go back to Mary Ann.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you for the reminder.
Just a suggestion there.
No. Thank you. Mary Ann?
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to mention that, V. Patel sent out a message at 5:59. She's the chair of the, governance committee. And I think she sent it to everyone. Anyway, I can read it for you. It says, hello, KPFT LSB. I may be unable to attend tonight's meeting due to work, but please read the following. And it says, KPFT governance will meet December the 17th and January the 21st. Please be sure to attend if you're a member, which I am. I'm the secretary. Especially if you are also on the LSB. And we invite KPFT listener community members to join our meetings as well. Again, that's the 17th of December and the 21st of January. And please save the date. Thank you. And that's V. Patel, chair of the KPFT Governance Committee. So that next meeting is going to be December the 17th.
December 17th.
I'm sorry to say this, but I need the January date again.
And January the 21st.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Susan?
Yes, Mr. Chair, as we have this unusual abundance of time to kill, I suggest that perhaps between now, the end of our committee reports, and the start, the time certain for public comment, that maybe we might hear from a little bit from the people who will be joining our board in December. And I think that includes Ron Stubers, Rhonda Gardner. Let's see. There was Melissa Bowie. And we have some who've already joined recently. That's Glenn and Rajat. But I thought perhaps we might give them a little chance to talk because they're not going to be able to talk in public comment in the future.
Well, actually, and I have a little note here, somebody gave me that suggested that in advance of the public comment session, that we let the new folks know, that at this meeting, they are members elect. Okay, they are not yet they're still members of the public today. And as such, y'all can talk during the public comment section. Every day, every meeting, it's in the bylaws. There's a hard stop at 8 o'clock, to allow for public comment, by members of the general public. During that, public comment session, there's no interaction between the members and between the LSB members and the members of the public. It's a time where members of the public, and which y'all still are, can talk to us about what concerns they have regarding the station, the LSB, the process, all of it. So at the next meeting, when y'all are seated, y'all have to be quiet for 30 minutes. But today, and I don't know that there's any reason we can't start a couple minutes early. It's 5 minutes early. But
I have an announcement if you want me to eat up 2 minutes.
Hang on. I was just going to call on Adriana, who's put her hand up, and then I'll come back to you, Teresa.
I have, I'm sorry, a question for Teresa, because you said that the governance committee of the PMB is talking about limiting some of the committees to only LSB or delegates. I think that will be, in the case of fiduciary committee, yes, but in the case of a governance committee, is a violation of the bylaw. It's Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 10, Local Station Board Advisory Committees. That's very clear there that the LSB members affiliated with that radio station shall be eligible for appointment to a committee. That's what I'm saying. When you said that, I don't know, maybe I misunderstood you, but obviously you cannot limit the governance committee without changing the bylaws. Please explain that. Thank you.
Sorry.
Are you able to respond, Teresa?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was in the chat reading the chat. It came out of governance, and it's gone to the national board. So I'm sure they'll deal with that there.
Matt?
But yeah, you cannot change it by law, right? I'm wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong. We can't change the bylaws.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Sandy? Yeah.
Thank you. One more point that I should have mentioned in my report. Our sustainers now account for roughly half of our monthly needs. We eclipsed the $25,000 mark. So we're seriously looking at eliminating one of our fund drives next year. We're not done studying this yet, but we're going in that direction. So hallelujah. What do you know? Fewer fund drive days.
So, thanks. So that's it. So if we're raising 25 plus from sustainers, what's the burn rate?
You can look at it as a $600,000 a year box.
Okay.
So that's 300,000.
Yeah. So okay. It's about half.
Exactly right. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I wanted to mention that today I went to Power Tools for Nonprofits. Some great presentations. One was, on conscious change. Excellent. And one was on data-driven habits that separate best leaders from the rest. Excellent. And I went to an excellent workshop on planned giving. So if anybody wants to talk about any of those topics, feel free to call me.
Or you could just lend the book on planned giving to Sandy and let him run with that.
Or Rob Lee.
Or Rob Lee. Okay, we're coming up on 8 o'clock, the hard stop I was referring to earlier. Just let me say that, public commenters, you don't have to be kind, but you got to be civil. There's no name calling. There's no ad hominems. If that does happen, I'll ask you to desist once. And, if that kind of thing, and it doesn't happen very often, hasn't happened in quite a while, as a matter of fact. But if it does happen, I'll ask the member of the public to desist once. And if the behavior persists, I will eject you from the meeting just because life is too short. Okay. Including those members elect, do any members of the public wish to address the LSB?
I will speak for public comment.
Who's that?
Anissa.
Oh, hi, Anissa. Okay, please.
I'm here to beg y'all, please, please do not work with the Star of Hope. In 2010 and 2011, I was technically a client of theirs, and it was the most oppressive and horrible experience. My father was Muslim, and I personally do not eat pork, and at the Star of Hope with the other cooked in pork, served with pork, where you were basically stuck eating a peanut butter sandwich out of a bag if you were vegetarian or if you were someone who didn't eat pork. They had religious services 3 times during the week, but it was only Christian-based services. There were, I guess I'm a spoiled Unitarian, but there were no other faith traditions invited to speak. And there was, a resident, she'd only been there a couple months, and she thought herself the de facto prayer leader. So every time we went in for meals, she would perform a public prayer, which I'm pagan, and I'm guessing anyone in that room who is Muslim, Jewish, Sikh, or even atheist would be extremely offended. And I know we want to get a more diverse and inclusive, be more diverse and inclusive, and the Star of Hope was not it. My experience, it was everything against diversity and inclusion you could get. And that's it. Okay.
Thank you. The one thing I did not think to say because my flow is off is during public comment session, we allot 5 minutes per speaker. Once all members of the public who wish to speak have spoken, all unique members, then people who wish to make further comments may do so, given the same time restrictions. We want everybody to be able to have ample opportunity to talk. So, Ron, you had your hand up for a minute?
Yeah, sure. Good evening. Yeah, I'm Ron Stubers, and pleased to meet you on the Zoom call here. I'm excited to be joining the board next meeting. And I was excited before and actually going to the Fajita Fest at the Cadillac just only amplified that because I got to meet some of the current board members in person, even ones that I talked to on the phone. Those interactions were all very positive. Got to talk to Sandy for a little bit, although he was running all over the place and trying to take care of things. So no name calling, but a little bit of calling out today. He was doing a great job on that. I thought that little festivity was done very well. And that was reflected in the listeners that I was able to talk to who were really excited about the station and excited about what we were doing and interested. They had their favorites, but really they're interested in making sure that the station continues and that it thrives. So that was really good to see. Meeting some of the programmers, that was a little new for me. So that was cool. I appreciate that. I would say that the list of metrics that was discussed, I know this is part of like Sandy, your sort of review things, but I'm a numbers guy. And so, getting numbers and seeing numbers and hearing how things are going based on that, I think are very helpful. And I would be very appreciative of that. I'm excited to see where we can go together and where I can help. That's what I have. Thanks.
Glad to have you. Dave, are you really a cowboy?
Yeah, I got my hat over here. Okay. I just don't have it on because I'm sitting in my chair. Can y'all hear me all right?
That's all it takes is a hat.
Yeah. No, and I ride a Harley, though. I don't ride a horse these days. At least I try and ride my Harley. I'm Cowboy Dave from the prison show. And the reason I want to speak up tonight is because we've got some really great news. For 4 years now, I've negotiated with TDCJ and Securus and now a company called Adovo. And I've presented this to several of the staff members and some of the other programmers. And yesterday and today, both I've been talking with the executive director and trying to find out the legalities of the prison show actually sharing our audio. They want an MP3 file on the tablets for the inmates. We've been approved all the way across the board. And whenever I went to staff, it didn't go so well. So it was suggested I go to the executive director, and she had several questions. Several of the questions were, how much would it cost the inmates? It's free for the inmate. What kind of paperwork do I have to sign? It's no more signage than signing up for Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or any of the other social medias. I'll be uploading an audio file. It's not another station. It's not another network. It's just the fact that inmates aren't buying radios anymore, and the prison show's dying. Our caller base on Friday nights is getting lower and lower. Our audience is actually moving towards our Facebook Live. We have 13,000 followers on Facebook Live. Last Friday night, we had 1,400 people log into Facebook to watch our live feed. So it's really concerning, and Ray Hill brought up a question years ago of how do you count the inmates that actually listen? So I have no way to count them, but I do know that they're handed a tablet for free, and they have to buy a radio. And the KPFT signal, even though we have a repeater out of Huntsville, is very poor. So the legalities of it is if we used KPFT/Pacifica money to pay for it, then Pacifica or KPFT would have to negotiate and sign for it. So the ED suggested maybe she talk, because we do get a grant, maybe she talk to the people from the grant and have them just talk to Adovo. And then today we had a donor speak up, and they're willing to pay the whole year's $10,000 fee. So as of today, Stephanie Wells has given me the thumbs up. And the prison show will be on the tablets in TDCJ, and we will have the opportunity to go into 850,000 inmates cells with the prison show. Every week. This is a weekly thing. Right now, we're approved to upload 50 past episodes, and going forward every week, we're allowed to upload 4 items. But I think the items will be our weekly show. If we have any protests, and from time to time, I'll probably pick up a execution watch or something that's online with what's going on with the prison show. But I've been in close contact with the ED, and she's really excited. She congratulated me, talked about all the great work I've done since Ray Hill passed away. We all miss Ray Hill, but it's been a tough road, and I've got some great big shoes to fill, and I just really... I don't want to preach too much, but I really thank God for coming into my life and helping me fill those shoes with Ray Hill, because I know Ray Hill was a very great man. He was my mentor and my advisor, and I really am glad that the prison show is doing great things for KPFT and Pacifica. That's all I got.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who wish to address the LSB? Nancy, that's your hand, isn't it? You have 5 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'd like to ask David, could he say how many different prisons can access with the tablet? Will it be, I mean, like, is it the same as the radio broadcast?
And could No, ma'am. It's much more. We're going to be nationwide now.
TDCJ,
Yeah, TDCJ only has 150,000 inmates. So we'll reach all the prisons here in Texas because we're approved by TDCJ. And in addition to that, it'll be 700,000 more inmates that we'll be able to reach. Whoever has a Securus tablet with the Adovo app will be able to, will have access to the prison show.
Wow.
I mean, it's huge. It's just, it's something that I've been working on for 4 years, and and I can't take all the credit because I've asked so many people advice and so many people have encouraged me, including TDCJ. Jason Clark, who was a spokesperson for TDCJ, he's the one that actually approved us. And the reason they approved us is because they say they have an FM app on the tablets, but the FM app is really just a wire inside the tablet. So any radio station that's within a mile or 2 miles of the unit, they can pick that up. But Jason actually went to the unit and used a tablet, and it didn't work to even get a rock and roll station or a country station. And then he got in his car and he drove around and he realized how poor the KPF signal was, not just around Huntsville, but down around Richmond Rosenberg and down around Brazoria. I mean, it's really spotty, and we've got a repeater in Huntsville for those units. And it's really weird because during the week, they can get KPFT, but then come Friday night, the signal goes away, and they've got some kind of a Spanish show that comes on over the airwaves. So it just walks all over us. But now with the tablets, we don't have to worry about that FM signal. Any inmate, and it's behavior-based, any inmate who has the privilege to use their tablet for free can access the Adovo app and listen to the prison show.
So radios are not advantageous at all for prisoners?
What was that again?
So the radio is meaningless for most of the prisoners, or is it still helps some prisoners?
It still helps some prisoners. The older prisoners still use a radio, and they know how to make an antenna or get the signal enhanced. I used to be a prisoner, and I would buy a dipole antenna off a commissary and not use a coax cable, but I would also throw my dipole antenna out my window in my cell. So I'm an IT guy and a maintenance guy, so I made my radio work. But a lot of inmates nowadays, they're not going to buy a radio if somebody gives them a tablet. And that's what we're finding. Most of the newer inmates are not interested in buying a radio because they have a tablet for free.
I see. So, but are there some incarcerated that cannot qualify for a tablet and they would?
Yeah, because of disciplinary action, and maybe they're an ADSEG for disciplinary action, they're not going to have the tablet, and they're going to have to rely upon the FM signal. And therefore, we're still on KPFT. We're not going anywhere. I mean, we're still doing our radio show. We're still doing fund drive and everything that we can for KPFT. We're just getting another avenue to upload content on. Just okay. Like we do on Facebook. And about page. We do Facebook Live. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but describe what the broadcast is so poor. Can you give this everybody a description?
Well, I live in Shepherd, Texas, and I can hear it very well. But if you go all the way over towards Polunsky, it fades in and out right there by in Livingston. I know we used to have a repeater up around Livingston, but if you go more towards Huntsville, once you get within 2 or 3 miles of the bird unit or the wind unit, it's really sketchy. And I'm not sure why that is. I'm not a tower guy. I know we used to have a manager named David Bay, and David said that the lightning strikes the tower a lot, and there's something up there on top of the tower that he had to change out quite often. That's all I know. Sandy probably knows more about the tower than I do. All I know is with the tablets, the inmates won't need the tablet. I mean, they won't need the FM radio because it'll be on the tablet. It'll come over an intranet.
Nancy, you've been sharing your 5 minutes and that's fine. Before we come back to you, are there any other members of the public who have not spoken who wish to address the LSB? We have a few minutes left.
I have something. My name's Melissa. Hi. Hello, everyone. So I wanted to say, thank you for, your 8 o'clock radio show with Rico. I love Rico and his input. That was a great, added a great sauce. I think he should stay on, and doing his thing. I also wanted to add in, we can work with the Bridge Over Troubled Waters, which is where I came from, abusive, shelter for, battered women. And I'm so sorry that the other person, experienced something like that with the Star of Hope, but I just wanted to comment on, they only have so many, avenues as to help resources. So, my experience was if you did have a situation where you only ate certain things, then you were allowed to bring in your own food and you should have been able to cook what you wanted. At least that's what my experience at the Bridge Over Troubled Waters, but they were a private entity. So I don't know how that, would help, but I'm sorry you had a bad experience. And also I wanted to, say to, MLK, I would love to be a part of that. And also the prison reference, I would love to be a part of your thing too as well. You should be getting expansion, but that was it. That's all I wanted to comment.
Okay. Thank you. Colin, user number one, you have your hand up. You have 5 minutes.
I did. And I actually won't need 5 minutes, but I did. This is Serene Roberts. I'm a director, a PNV director, and I want to be sure my number is identified so that when you go, my line is identified so that when you go into executive session, I remain on the line. I do intend to participate. And I am thrilled about that whole tablet conversation, and I will follow up. We have a prison show here in New York. I know DC and Kate. WPFW in DC and KPFK in LA also have shows, aimed at those populations and their families on the outside. So that is a tremendous accomplishment. Thank you so much.
Hey, are there any other members of the public who have not addressed? Serene, you have your hand back up. You got about another 4 minutes.
No. I was actually trying to lower my hand. I didn't realize it had been done for me because obviously they can't see.
Are there any other members of the public who have not addressed the LSB who wish to address the LSB? Hearing none, Nancy, you put your hand up, put your hand down, you put your hand up. Do you have any, would you like another 5 minutes to address the LSB?
Yes, thank you. I would like the LSB to consider, since we're in hard times and we're probably going to have harder times, but at least we are independent of the CPB funding for maybe 4 or 5 years now. So we won't be in such a big mess like maybe other affiliate stations will be. Who have we're not addicted to CPB funding. So I wanted to suggest an idea because I had this idea was on before years ago, a volunteer GM staff, like one person would be from the news, one person would be from music, one person would be from public affairs, another from the ethnic shows. The four of them would take turns with responsibilities and you know, it would lay time out, you know. I mean, it would share the time of work. Anyway, that was, and then one of them would be the GM. So the GM would be, have access to finance, financial information. The IGMs are not having access to all the financial documents. The LSVs do not have access to the financial documents. The public does not. But there's a motion I just happened to find. It's was passed in 2020, October 20th, motion presented by James Sagerton of BAI and seconded by Susan Young. And it restricts that information. So LSVs are out of the loop, and so are the IGMs. Only the GM and the business managers and the ED and the treasurers would have access to all the financial documentation. Okay, and then to have a GM that's paid, well, you could do that. And then before they receive their check, they donate the exact amount. So they're actually a volunteer, but they're actually getting a salary at the same time. That's just an idea I was thinking. Please think about it, because I talked to other programmers at the time. This is like 4 years ago, and some of them were saying, yes, that's a good idea, but maybe you need an odd number instead of an even number. And I said, well, anyway, this needs to be thought out. I also want to say that in the bylaws, what is the most important thing? Okay, I had so many things here, but I would say the CART that talks about the LSV meeting it says at 8 o'clock, and this LSV starts at 7 o'clock. So the CART needs to be corrected, and it should say something about public comment starts from 8 p.m. to 8:30. It doesn't say that at all. And if you listen to the CARTs of the other stations, they do say the time starting and the time finish for public comment. I think we should do that for their courtesy to the membership. And please do that. And also, Elise Bench, I appreciate her state and city news, which is about 3 to 5 minutes. However, none of it is archived at all. And that's, can we please correct that? I hope you understand what I said. Also, in the Article 7 of the LSB, Section 10, it says clearly advisory committees, LSB advisory committees, and it says members affiliated with that station can be a member of the committee. So I'm really surprised that Teresa was on the National Governance Committee and they passed a motion last night to restrict it to only LSBs being on the committees. Then you have no input from station membership. You only have input from people who were elected LSBs and governance and outreach and development. And when we finally get a programming committee, this needs membership input. So.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm sorry, but your 5 minutes are up. And we do have another member of the public who has not yet addressed the LSB. Bill Crozer, you have your hand up.
Yeah. Hi. Hey, thanks. And first, I want to say I'm glad that some of the newly elected LSB members are able to join the call today. To LSB meetings before, this is a good way to kind of get a little start. And of course, the LSB members whose terms are ending this year, this will be their last meeting unless there's some special meeting between now and December, which I doubt. Per the bylaws, the new members are seated at the meeting in December, which is usually the first Tuesday. And I think all of you may know at least a little bit about me. I was on the LSB and the PNB off and on for a number of times, so I'm pretty familiar with that. But I just hope you'll all get involved in at least one committee. And I believe what Adriana and Nancy were talking about regarding the about committees, I think out of context, they may have just read it wrong, but it talks about advisory committees, and our governance committee is not an advisory committee, just like the MSRC, the Management Selection Review Committee, is not an advisory committee. And the budget or the finance committee, the local ones I'm talking about, they're regular LSP committees. And, you know, we don't have non-LSP members voting on or reviewing the GM, for example. And so, you know, it's just kind of ludicrous to think that, you know, they should be on the MSRC, for example. So I think that part of the bylaws doesn't apply to probably any of the committees we have. If the LSP set up some special advisory committees, then that would be certainly, they'd be eligible to do that. A CAB is for the community advisory board that's, required by CPB, by say just getting CPB funds, but it's a good idea for all the, public and nonprofit radio stations, to get more widespread input from the community and not just listeners. The CABs are there to help get, find out what the community as a whole needs. And I hope that, we'll get more people involved in that who are maybe not on the LSP, but who really want to reach out and not just talk to their friends, but, you know, talk to other people. But anyway, I want to thank all of you new people to who have been willing to join the LSP. We really need everybody's help. It's a joint effort, and we have some really great, superb volunteers doing programming and taking care of things. I'm just one of many, and a lot of people do a lot more than me, including all those people on the air every week. I really appreciate all that they've been doing. So thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Bill. Before I circle back around to Nancy, are there any other members of the public who wish to address the LSB? And I will include those other members, those other non-members who have spoken but may wish to address us again. Hearing none, Nancy, you've got a couple of minutes. Nancy, you have your hand up. I can only assume you want to address the LSB.
Thank you. Yes, there's a Article 7, let's see, Article 7, LSB Board, Section 10, Local Station Board Advisory Committees. An LSB may, by resolution, designate one or more advisory committees to serve at the pleasure and direction and supervision of the LSB. Any such advisory committee shall include at least two LSB members, and members affiliated with that radio station shall be eligible for appointment to a committee. So I don't know what Crozier is reading. Anyway, there is that. Plus, what else did I want to say? So please don't forget about the, tomorrow, Thursday, is a very important vote in the U.S. House, and it's to vote on stopping tax exemption of 501c3s, and it will be decided all by the Secretary of Treasury, and he or she will have complete authority. And it has a weird name. I wrote it down somewhere, but now I can't find it. It says, if it's considered, let's see, it's called Stop Terror Financing Tax Penalties on American Hostages Act. Now, the American hostages will get an extension to file their income tax forms. That's the good part. The rest of it is if the Secretary of Treasury perceives that a nonprofit is saying something or doing something or acting in support of terrorists or any action that's going on that may be fighting terrorists like Hamas or Hezbollah or anyway, it will be all up to the Secretary of Treasury with no recourse. So this is going on tomorrow. And last week they had a preliminary vote. It failed for a majority of 2/3, but tomorrow will just be a simple majority. And there were 52 Democrat rats, R-A-T-S. That's what Robert Reich wrote and described them, because they voted for it. And three of them from Texas and eight of them from California. And New York had about three. I'm just naming, but there was 52 of them, and 16 Democrats and 17 Democrats did not even vote. So this is something that is important to call your legislator, your House of Reps, and then later on call your senators. You know, tell your friends, even your friends out of state, anywhere, because this will severely cut. It will hinder. It might even end some nonprofits. And we're not talking about it at all. I haven't heard anything. And I was checking to see if Elise Bench had mentioned it in her news, and maybe I missed it. And I could not even find any archive of her news reports. And
thank you. Nancy. Nancy,
okay, thank you.
It is 8:30 and we must move on. We have proceeded at pace. I hope nobody minds. So is there any unfinished business that the LSB needs to take up at this time? Hearing none, I take it there is none. Is there any new business that
Mr. Chair? LSB... Adriana, I'm sorry, yes, I don't Adriana. Know what's happened. I cannot raise my hand.
That's okay.
Okay. I was thinking in the meantime that people were from the public were talking.
Okay.
And I have another question for something that Teresa said in the PMB report. May I ask my question?
Okay. Can you remember what the question was?
Oh, yes. Yes. Teresa, you said that the PMB, the personnel committee that you chair, are finalizing the evaluation of the executive director, right? Did you say so? I heard something like that.
Yes.
Okay. And it's something that called my attention that this year the LSB wasn't consulted. The Article 9, Officers of the Foundation, Section 7, Executive Directors, said that he shall be selected to reverse and discharged by the board. In addition, his or her performance will be subject to annual evaluation by each LSB, which may make recommendations to the board. I don't remember this year our LSB doing any of that. Do you have anything about that?
That is up to the LSB to decide whether they want to do that. Doesn't say they have to. I believe that each LSB may, and not every LSB chooses to do that.
They said will also be subject to annual evaluation, but each LSB doesn't give you the option not to do it.
Well, I don't chair the MSRC meeting. I don't chair the MSRC, but the way I understand it, it means that if the MSRC.
Excuse me, let's not have crosstalk. She's trying to answer your question, Adriana, and then we're going to move on to Rob Lee, who's had his hand up for a minute. Teresa, can you address her question or concern any further?
That's the way several people are, I would assume that's the way the majority of the people on the MSRC interpreted it this time. Actually, it doesn't say anywhere that the PNB has to even take that into consideration. But let me say this. The personnel committee is chaired by Darlene Pargano, who is a reputable, experienced HR professional, and has sent out evaluation forms to all of the players that interact with the Pacifica executive director. I think a lot of people, for example, on our LSB never have any interaction with the executive director.
Rob, I know you've had your hand up for a minute, but I have a sneaking suspicion, if it's okay with you, I have a sneaking suspicion that Susan Young may have some means of responding to this. Am I wrong, Susan?
Yes, yes, go ahead. But I have a different topic. So
right. when I fit in. That's why I asked.
Right, sorry, trying to, yes, thank you very much, Rob and Mac. Yes, the bylaws are weird and difficult to interpret. The major focus of evaluations are in the roles and duties of the local station board, and that's the annual evaluation of the GM and the annual evaluation of the PD. Nowhere does it list that the PNB evaluates the ED, which is something the PNB should do. So last year and this year, the PNB initiated that evaluation process. We're fortunate that it was designed by Darlene Pagano, who is an HR professional. The statement, the snippet about LSBs will conduct an annual evaluation of the ED are in the ED's, is in the ED, the description of the ED job. To my knowledge and to the knowledge of anyone I know, no LSB has ever done it. We've discussed in the personnel committee whether that should be a part of the personnel committee conducted ED evaluation and did not feel that it should be, but that individual LSBs could opt to do that annual evaluation if they so choose. We had three things that we were considering in the MSRC this year. One of them was evaluating the GM, which is our clear responsibility under the bylaws, and we are a year out from the last evaluation. The second is moving forward with a permanent GM search, because we have had an interim, and we need to, it's responsible to move into permanent. The third is this LSB evaluation of the executive director that has never been done by us and never been done by anybody and is not required. I thought it was useful to look into that, but we ran out of time, and this is the last meeting of this LSB term.
Okay. Thanks. Rob, new topic, you said?
Yes. I heard, and I've heard this a couple of times, and Tori and I were just going back and forth on some texts. The issue of the real estate tax exempt status. Now, I don't know if we should spend a lot of time on it in a large group, but what we might want to do is form some sort of subgroup and at least study it and think, are there any possibilities for us to try to, you know, gain that? Again, I'm guessing that the Texas legislature passed the law in such a way that it actually directly impacted a group like KPFT. But I was going to suggest having some subgroup, and I'd be happy to help. I have some friends that are real estate attorneys, another one that does real estate taxation. But Tori knows a House representative of the state of Texas. But, you know, what should we do as far as, is there anything we could do? And I'll stop.
I think that's a good question. If there's anything we can do, I don't think we're going to solve that today. But Sandy?
Yeah, if I might. Yeah, I've had two tax attorneys look at this already. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to more, but it's plain and clear. You look at the form, and the form needs to be changed if we're to be allowed, or we need to get an exception as KPFT. Something's got to give. And quite frankly, I don't hold a lot of hopes. I spoke to the tax assessor's office about this and the form. We can submit one with an explanation, but it will be turned down. So If I could get the contact information, Tori, for the person that you were offering the chat, I would be appreciative. Thank you.
Sure. Can I say something here?
Yeah.
You know, from what I heard, that this, our tax exempt status is contingent upon us getting some, CPB money. And with the coming administration, there, it looks like, you know, this Project 2025 stuff, they're going to be slashing and burning, CPB money. And so that creates a catch-22 which is a contradiction that, you know, can be straightened out at the state legislature level. Since,
that's right.
You know, there's not going to be more CPB money for anybody.
The criteria have to be adjusted. That's exactly right.
And maybe the finance committee can at some point address that, but I don't think we're going to fix it today. So, unless there's any objection, and I'll listen for it. Unless there's any objection, I think we need to adjourn the public session, and go to the executive session. Let me remind the members of the LSB that the automated invite you got to this meeting, you got to scroll all the way down. I missed it. But you got to go all the way down, and there is a different Zoom link that will take you to the executive session. So, Linda, I'm gonna call
please
you in just
this
a second.
Is Doreen. Please send me that information.
I'm just gonna call. I'm gonna call on you in a second, Linda, but. No, I'm going to call on you now. Go ahead.
Thanks. I don't get these automatic notifications. So, Susan, would you please send it to me? Thank you.
I'll forward to Lyndon and to Serene.
Okay. Are there any other members of the LSB who do not have access to the link, who are not getting the automated invites? Anybody raise your hand, because we're fixing to adjourn the meeting if there's a motion. Yes, Susan.
Yeah, I've gotten it, but I wanted to make sure that we confirm that the next LSB meeting date, you may have already said this.
Thank you, I did not.
November 11th, 2024, and that I'm happy to make a motion to adjourn the public session for us to go into executive session.
There a second? Hey.
One second, if you would. You're talking about streaming to the bottom of this, and I apologize, but I don't see it. I might not be the okay. I apologize. I see it. Okay. It is actually at the bottom as you described. I apologize.
It's not easy to spot. So
I'm in exactly the same situation. So wait for me. I'll get there.
Okay, so I am going to forward the link to Lyndon and to Serene Roberts, who is a director and has the right to participate in or to join in our meetings, even in executive session.
Right.
And me.
And Jane.
And Jane. Okay, got it. Got it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Question. Matt, sorry. Question. Susan, yes. Have I been added to the list of automatic? Recipient.
Yeah, if you got the automated email that says here the
no reply.
Here's the link. Go all the way down to the bottom and you'll see there's a separate link for it doesn't say that it's for the executive session, but you can see the difference between it and the link that you clicked on. Okay. Susan had a
y'all send me that link. Well, I didn't get it. This is Mike Lewis.
Okay. Susan, can you add Mike Lewis to that?
Yep.
Okay.
So I've got Lyndon, Mike, Jane.
I have a question. Susan, sure. All the people who be in the executive session, everybody, from the LSB, need to sign the confidentiality agreement, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And there, everybody has with one exception who did not wish to sign. And so I'm going to ask the person who intended to not sign to not join in the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the reminder, Adriana.
With that, there was a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection to adjournment so we can retire to the executive session? Going once, going twice. Motion to adjourn is passed. And I'll see y'all on the other side.